Hello and welcome, Race Brain Podcast. My name is Rich Ryan, fresh from Vienna. Feeling a little under the weather. Came back with the sniffles. That's how that rolls. Came back with a butt kicking, a sore butt, and the sniffles. So that's tough. Joining me. Throat's all right.
Oh, okay.
Throat's all right. Joining me, you heard his voice. That's Bracken Crocker over there. Fresh from, where were you guys hanging out? TRP?
Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Dude, it sounds amazing.
I thought that Kirk had an accent and he pronounced caribou incorrectly. I was like, there's no way that there's a baraboo, but I was wrong.
That's like an impediment. That's not even an accent.
Yeah, I don't know the accent that switches letters like that.
Yeah. And of course, Jack Bauer. What's up, Jack? How are you doing today?
Not too bad. I'll be in Europe next week, so hopefully it goes better than your experience. No offense.
Getting ready for the goofiest of the goofy games. Oh,
Bracken just mouth drop.
I came away with at least $300. You guys are going to come away with just like literally no idea what happened.
We'll see.
You guys are coming out way.
Big time gift bags this year.
Yeah. Lululemon.
We did get those Lulu shorts. They wear them as pajamas. Great pajama shorts.
They're actually pretty good, honestly.
Like, yeah, Lulu's solid. Not as good as 10,000.
I go to TJ Maxx. I get whatever is on sale. Like, I'm not a huge, you know, brand type of person, as you know, with shoes and stuff. I get my shoes on Running Warehouse, but clothes, I'm like, whatever. It's just, they're going to get sweaty anyway. Those Lululemon ones are actually pretty good.
Correct. All right. So we have some Hyrox competition to talk about. We'll start. We had three races, actually. Did you guys see that race in Dubai? Pretty fast. A lot of fast stuff throwing down.
Yeah. 58 something for the guys.
And like 62 for Jake Gillen, who was like 70, I think, in Dubai earlier this year. So that's a crazy time on her end. But we had the 2024 European Championships in Vienna, Austria. I was there. So I'm going to give you all the breakdown. I watched half of the coverage.
Did you say
morning.
European Championships?
Yes.
Is that why? Like, you guys just bowed out?
We said we'll take
mess things up.
We'll take 11th, 12th, 13th. You guys have your championship. We'll just be back here.
We're not even going to get in the top 10. We're just letting Europe.
That's stand up behavior.
Last year America just like messed things up for the European Championship on the women's side.
On the women's, not on men's. It was Makita got like eighth.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Been,
yeah, that's
would have been
said
a great show.
Women's side. Yeah,
I would have loved eighth.
Yeah.
And so this is the European Championship and also the European Open Championship. So the only elite race of the day was on Friday night, of the weekend, I should say, was on Friday night. And then the rest of Saturday's competitions were the European Open Championships, which is... With open weight. There was no pro waves.
Because I was
still,
looking,
there
was
still a championship, though.
There were like 60 people under an hour. I'm like, there's no way these guys are that fast. And then I realized it didn't have pro next
Even
to
that's
it.
Even that's impressive.
I know.
60 people under an hour?
It was very, very deep.
Good athletes, too. I do want to talk about this, talk about the Open Championships versus like this Elite Championships and what that kind of means and how that looks within the sport. But let's start with the elites on Friday evening. Men or women, guys? What do we want to do?
Women.
Yeah.
Start with the ladies. We had... The showdown that we have anticipated to happen throughout this season was going to be Lauren Weeks, first Meg Jacoby, first Michaela Norman. It's turning into, it was looking like Meg was just going to assert dominance for the entire year. But Lauren Weeks came out and really made an absolute statement, running 58.0, I believe. 58.03. And breaking the world record by almost 50 seconds
Close to a minute, yeah.
Close to a minute. In a very strong showing. So it's pretty exciting how this is going to mix up for the rest of the season. But the story is Meg and Lauren, they're just kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. So Bracken, what was your takeaway with Lauren's performance?
You asked prior to this on an episode, what does Lauren even do? And we kind of didn't know what to say other than like, just do your thing, but harder. And she did.
No, she
went out a little slower.
She did not go out the way that she typically does.
It was hard to tell because someone took the lead real quick.
But it wasn't like but didn't like string. Like when Lauren takes lead, it strings. It was one person, Jennifer Nicholas, and then it was kind of a group, kind of a packet.
Yeah, but then she did her thing from there. And you're right. So there was a slight adjustment, but then she just pushed the pedal right to her line and kept it there the entire race. And like we've seen from her, if she ever has an adjustment to make, she makes adjustments. And whether that's natural flow of her season taking care of it, or she's an expert in shoring up her weaknesses, she went from an also-ran in the previous races to the greatest performance we've ever seen on the female side.
Yeah.
In what? A couple weeks?
Stockholm.
And also ran.
Stockholm was...
Yeah, she was an also-ran compared to Meg.
Kinda.
She wasn't on the screen.
Fair. Okay.
Like, they haven't had a battle this year.
Yeah.
They really haven't had a battle. Someone wins
by a lot. Yeah. Linda almost beat her in wall balls one time. Okay.
Yeah, and now she said, yeah, I'm the best right now.
Remember me?
And doing
without saying a single word.
No, just took care of business. And she kind of gets on a roll, right? When things are going well for her and she starts to be in the front and assertive, then it's just like momentum and things start kind of picking up like a train. Where in the past, like two races, it was like, obviously she's a competitor. She's trying. She's not like just like mailing it in, but she didn't like continuously get stronger and stronger after having this really hard output up front. When she gets rolling like that, that's when these times and these records kind of will fall because she just does so well on momentum.
She's one of the best front runners I've seen.
Yeah. So she, pull up the rankings itself. Hold on. Because she had the fastest sled push by like 20 seconds over the second fastest. And Meg was somewhere in the middle for her sled push. Didn't have a great push.
Mm-hmm.
But putting a 20 second gap on there, that was almost where she kind of picked her spot, right? She kind of picked her spot on the run after the ski. Where that was what I was thinking. It's like, she needs to just like reduce, chill out, pick a spot, be assertive. It was still very early that she did this, but it wasn't like that jump right from the start. And maybe that helped her into the push. I mean, if she pulled back just that 1K to start, like just chilling for 3.5 minutes, as opposed to hammering for the 8 to 9 minutes or whatever it is leading into sled push.
Yeah.
She just had a little bit more juice and was able to push that sled really well.
It's like, are those five seconds easier per 500 on the skier, they're going to translate to way more than 5 seconds feeling fresher on the skier or on the sled most likely. So she kind of just shifted where she's going to save time a little bit.
It also was a good reminder that what your strength is doesn't have to be your highest effort station. Like, you don't have to always lean into the thing that makes you the greatest. Sometimes you can just be as good as everyone else at that. Like, one of her strengths is getting out hot and not fading. But when you can be the first off the ski without doing that, now you cut 10 minutes off the race almost. Not quite 10, but you know, like,
yeah.
She got to wait 8 minutes into the race before pressing and didn't have to give up the lead to do it. And that at the top in High Rocks, it's still such unexplored wilderness. Like, the proper pacing hasn't probably been found across the board. And so a little adjustment and it gained her a minute.
Yeah. Like she came into the sled, to the ski, her, Meg, Jennifer Nichols, a bunch of athletes came in right around the same exact time. She left in tied with second with Meg. Viv had a good ski, came out of there leading. And then she put 5 seconds on Meg on that run. So it was like, I'm going to hold back. And then she put a whole bunch on Meg on the way out. Like, Meg came out of there 40 seconds behind. So between the run after the ski and the sled push, that was kind of like the drop right away. So still not a comfortable way to run this race, but more comfortable than she's done before.
So Bracken, you and I were texting during this, and I texted you early on. I said, it's been over since the sled push. Lauren's going to set a world record. Her stride is just different than everyone else's. Like, you could tell right away, like,
prove it.
15 minutes in, it was over.
Yeah. Because Meg and Lauren are both so good that their ability to bring time back on each other is almost negated. 5 seconds, yeah. 10 seconds, Meg can do that on any station she wants to, if she wants to press. You can't press 40 seconds out of Lauren unless Lauren gives it up.
Farmer's so carry is the only area we've seen her struggle.
40 seconds? With Lauren moving out of that station the way she moved out of it, like, well, there's nothing outside of a cramp or a penalty. It's already over.
That's what I was thinking watching. I was like, Meg's running is really strong. It was like, maybe if she pushes all of her chips into the runs after push, pull, and burpees, which is not an ideal way to run that race and then just catch and then potentially being able to catch up just on the runs. But Lauren, it wasn't happening. Lauren was running.
Were you guys all just watching that like during your warm up? Like, holy crap, this is impressive right now.
I was watching them run, and then I had the live stream up because I was in like the warm up area trying to see. So it was probably like a 10-second delay or something like that. They had the cam of the grid on the crane, so it was moving, which was actually kind of cool because in Chicago, it was just like fixed and it had like four lanes. So this was a pretty cool way to watch the race, I thought.
The thing about compromised running, if you agree that it exists.
Does it exist?
Tell that to BJ.
Is that half of it is motivation. Half of it is physically withstanding it and being good at it. But the other half is being able to lean into that really bad feeling. Like if you just line up to hit splits on a run, you can hit splits on a run. But when you come off of something jelly legged and really, really hurting, knowing this will come back around in a minute, I think the difference between running off with the lead and running off with a deficit is almost incalculable for how well you can attack compromised running. Because yes, Meg can outrun most people on most days, but you also have everyone's so good that she has to put it down to do that. And it's really hard to put it down in that situation with less motivation, knowing that it probably can't happen.
And after, yeah, like Meg had two amazing wins earlier in the majors, international travel. Sometimes this just happens. I'm not like, in terms of like, what does this mean for the season? I mean, yes, Lauren running the world record, that is meaningful. Cause like, oh wow. Like now there is going to need to be improvement if I'm Meg, but, I'm not putting too much into it. Like, okay, now it's clear that Lauren Weeks is going to win the world championship. I don't think that that's the case.
No, of course not. But what it is clear is that on the day to get Meg, nothing happened. Like she got dropped. She had no externally from our view, probably no motivation to keep it pegged the whole time.
Right.
Like who caught her? Like who capitalized? There still isn't that opportunity. She had the only day that we'll probably see her like this all year, I would guess. And there's still no one else because she's just that good. She had the chance to crumble worse and she didn't.
How many high rocks has she done?
Probably like at this point,
6 to 8, something like that.
Probably getting close to 10 now.
Is her worst finish second?
She was third at European Championships last year.
Oh yeah, Lauren and Michaela.
Yeah, I think her worst finish in any race was the PA fourth at DECA, where she was like fourth or fifth. Yeah, I think fifth. Yeah.
What's a bad day?
Right, like, right.
And you fall off, hurt your hip, not really feeling too good. A couple other people are feeling better that day, but
and she runs 60 flat or whatever.
Yeah,
when your floor is the second best person in the world, you're special.
During a world record event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her floor, 60 flat. We've established that.
Great. Unreal. Let's give a shout out to Linda Meyer also. I know we've been talking Meg and Lauren, but that's her third straight third place. She's like the Manuel Defoe of high rocks right now.
Getting there. Yeah, that was a great race for her. I was actually very impressed with Viola. Viola had a couple of races earlier this season. She goes out hard. This one she wasn't
slow down.
And, yeah, this time she didn't go out crazy, but hammered the sleds. And it looked like at one point she was going to start going backwards. It was like Vivian and Linda. And it looked like Linda was going to catch Viv. But I was like, Viv should be good for fourth. And then I was looking at Chris and I was getting in her ear a little bit. She was in fifth or sixth for a while. There's a big gap. But I thought Linda was going to come backwards to her. But that's how I figured it. And I thought, I was like, wow, Chris is going to get her spot here. But Viola really must have just hunkered down and suffered through that back half to finish and caught Vivian, ended up in fourth. So she punches her ticket. Vivian punches her ticket as well.
So after this race, there are six women who have a spot clinched.
Is that all?
I thought that's what it was. I don't want to jump ahead to the men's. But
that's true.
Six. I saw it. Eight men, six women, which I was like, that's kind of weird. There's a differential, but there has been more of a like turnover. You didn't have Hunter at a couple other races. You know, there's been more variability on the men's side. So I guess that explains why there are fewer clinch spots for the women so far.
Yes.
Because the same characters keep showing up and getting the same top three places. You're not going to have much room after that.
Right. There's only one or two spots available. Finishing out the field, Mikaela Norman ended up in sixth. Wasn't really a factor, but did catch Chris late. Yeah, then the back was just, you know, finishing. Lauren Griffith, I think, had some sort of major issue on the course.
Did they say she passed out? I don't want to misquote that.
That's what they said on the broadcast. I haven't caught the full story, but she definitely went out hard and was moving moving backwards. But did end up finishing the race. Camilla had a rough one as well. Had a couple penalties, at least one or two extra laps. So tough for our American-based athletes at the back. But hey, I get it.
Yeah,
I understand.
So do you know Lauren's travel schedule getting over there? Because it seemed like a lot of the athletes from the U.S. got there early. Like, I know Megita was there all week. Meg was there plenty early. Camilla was in Italy already ahead of time. What did Lauren do?
I don't know. I can't imagine she spent a ton of time.
Yeah.
I can't imagine she spent a ton of time. But that's the thing.
She's just immune to travel.
So for the international stuff, I got a take on it now. It's like, Kent and I, we got there on Thursday morning for a race that was Friday night. And our sleep was okay. We got there, slept for 3 or 4 hours during the day, went to bed around midnight-ish, and then got like 4 hours. I got about 4 hours, woke up for about an hour, and then got about 4 or 5 more hours. So I felt okay in terms of like my perceived exertion with fatigue. Like I didn't feel tired from lack of sleep. But I think it takes, and everything I've been like kind of researching and kind of looking to, I got a couple friends that are like specialists actually in this like exact area, is that like it takes a week for things to kind of come around. And to me, it's just like maybe nervous system wise is just not there to fire at the capacity that you're capable of doing. Even though like my sleep was fine, just my nervous system was tired because I did miss basically a full day of sleep within that travel. And so maybe it makes you 98% ready as opposed to 100, where Lauren and Meg, they could probably be like, what do you think? 88% and still smash everybody?
Still win.
Yeah, and still crush. Or for someone like me, like if I'm not 100% all the way in there, it's going to be a problem. Like there's going to be issues in that. So I think it's just like how much better you are than everybody is what matters. Because Alex, when he came over here, right, like got third, wasn't really in the race, but he's so much better than the field that he could still kind of hang on. But there's definitely something.
So what does that mean for Meg's world record then? I mean, not Lauren's. Sorry, Lauren.
I've got a number on that. So if you compare the men's versus women's time, what's it in track and field? It's usually 9 to 10% difference in running and swimming and stuff. 8.1% slower than Hunter.
Wow.
And I know courses are not identical, but that's impressive. That's faster than you'd expect the ratio to be.
So what does that mean then? What percent was she at?
Right? Like, is she at 98% and could be running like 57 40s or something?
Those 4 seconds to be in the 57s, yeah.
I'll say this. Anyone with kids handles the pressure, not the pressures, but let me start over. Anyone with kids handles less structure better than people without kids.
Mm.
Generally, that's not to like toot my own horn or anything. It's just that you're affected by all the same things, but they don't matter as much because you're used to it. So like if she got bad sleep, well, she was a nursing mom. She didn't get good sleep for however long she nursed for. And then after that, there's a kid waking up. Now that doesn't mean you are guaranteed to race well, but if there was a way to retain a higher percentage of your max, it's to not care when things are bad,
mm-hmm.
or for it to not be weird for you. Like part of your thing, like is that maybe there's a little fight or flight brought into it. Like your system's like on full alert. Like, what is this? We're out of it. I know we're out of it. I'm still sleeping, but I'm off. Where she just like, no one woke me up last night.
Right. Right. Could very well be. So now what this means for the rest of the majors, next one's coming up in DC in 2 weeks from Saturday.
Three weeks. Oh, is it already?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's March 3rd. You're right.
Same as the goofiness, the goofiest of all the games.
March 3rd.
King Goofy game.
King Goof.
Yep. The King Goof. The, So this gives Viola an automatic qualifier into the rest. Now there's 9 athletes who have automatic qualifying times into the last remaining major. And this pushes Alondra back to 15th. Now Jade Skillen moved from in Dubai, she ran 62.36, and another athlete ran, Jess Towell ran 63.17. And I guess this weekend would then be the last weekend to qualify.
2 weeks out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So we might see a couple other athletes because some international races get there.
Didn't they have another one in Spain, all like Bilbao or something?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, there was 3.
What kind of Spain course did we get?
Spain's not fast anymore, bro.
You got an American Spain course?
That's how it is. That's how it is now. And so it'd be interesting because last time Jezebel Kremer got the roll down. Now she's back to 21st. There will probably be, I don't know, if you're these international athletes on the women's side and you need a qualifier, would you make your way to this race in DC if you're a European-based athlete? Or would you just save it up for Hamburg, which is the last chance qualifier?
I'm doing that one.
I think you have to. I think what we've seen here is that you never know when your shot will come back again, both from opportunity and energy and fitness standpoint. And sometimes they don't even make sense. We've had people pop races when it shouldn't make sense. And we've had people who are primed and ready to go, and it's just not ready. I don't think you can put all your eggs in one basket for Hyrox unless you're like a hunter who needs one race.
Right.
Because if he gets it wrong, he's still hunter. So I think you have to, if you want it. I don't think everyone needs to travel overseas for these races, but like Jezebel, if she hadn't taken her shot at that race, she wouldn't have got another one because she's out now. You know, it's sometimes you get one and you've got to shoot it.
I'm looking at it from a travel perspective. Like we just saw international people who go from US to Europe didn't have success in general. I guess on the women's side, top two, they did fine. But
oh my goodness, can you guys hear this?
No.
Our tornado sirens starting up.
You got tornado sirens?
I think they're just testing it because it's exactly noon. So what are the odds that our...
it's a well-timed tornado.
Yeah.
Punctual tornado.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue. Terrible timing.
Yeah. But if I just saw a lot of athletes struggle to travel transatlantic, I'm thinking on short notice, you're probably going to get there like the day before, maybe a day and a half before, because the flights on such short notice, unless you were like for sure in the top 15. If you're one of those fringe athletes, I don't know, it's going to be tough. And anybody can show up to that last chance qualifier. You've got more time to build into it. I think that's the safer bet. And if you're a US athlete, of course you take it because it's in your home country. But I don't know, I'd be very tentative despite the limited opportunities to go after this, because I don't think the success rate is going to be that high.
Not wrong. That's good logic.
We've
seen people, though, need 2 shots at it. And we've seen people do really well on the second half of like a double month. Rich himself has had this before. Like gone, what would you go? Was it Texas to California or Chicago to California? You've had a few races where you've done one, done another one, and immediately improved.
Yeah.
We've seen Kent do that. Yeah. Sometimes that feeling or the learning can be turned around where in a Hyrox, you can improve without fitness improving or with a quick little skill touch up. So you're not wrong, Jack, if you think you can nail one, but sometimes it takes for the non-monsters of the universe type people, it takes 2 attempts to get one.
But that's the thing. I'm gonna back you up here, Jack.
Yeah,
that's the thing with Jack's point, right? Is like to pop one, right? I don't know if you can be less than 100%. And if you're flying internationally, you probably won't. Looking at this field, then like Lauren will be there, Meg will be there, Vivian will be there, and then maybe that's all. But then like, if you're an international athlete, you're not. You'd have to beat Camilla. And then Lauren Griffith and Alondra, and then the athletes who are behind, who have finished
Chris
behind
could
them.
Get in.
Chris, for sure. That's another one too. I guess
it's
not.
A gamble.
It's and without a Michaela showing up, if Viola and Linda don't come, but if Linda's coming, then like I'm these athletes who have
it's
been finishing
equation.
8th, I'm not, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a waste of a trip.
Yeah. It's definitely a math equation at that point. When you have two of the five spots 100% guaranteed with Lauren and Meg. And then, as you mentioned, most likely Vivian's going to end up getting there because she already clinched her spot. If Linda comes over, good luck. You're just not, you're fighting a bunch of other people on their home soil trying to get that one spot.
Right. And the depth is showing that it's hard to do. It's not a big gap.
I think your point of like the quick turnover making you race better is very applicable in like September or October, but a lot of these athletes have raced a lot so far. I don't think it's an issue of sharpness at this point. Like I just need one more try and then I'm going to pop a race. I think there are so many factors at this point in the season where it's like, just be fresh, tapered, go into it, make sure you can run an A race when you're not going to have that 2% issue from travel, whatever it ends up being. Like do it in your home soil. Yeah. It's going to be easier all around.
For sure. If you only get one shot, take the home cooking. That's the one you fire at, but I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no clean way.
No. But the athlete mentality of this is like, not going to affect me.
Yep.
Affects them. That's how I've been.
I'm going to be the exception.
Yeah. I'm that dude.
Lauren did fine. She traveled.
I'll figure that shit out.
Yeah.
But you have to be really, really good. You got to be head and shoulders above is what it's seeming like.
How many surprising, like international, we know who the cream of the crop is, but how many times is like the 15th place person finished third also in an international traveling situation? It just doesn't happen.
On the women's side, it's like never.
It's the same characters no matter where you go. So
the only time that happened was world championships.
Tiago. Yeah.
Well, Tiago, well, I'm talking about Chris. The only time it's like, what? Yeah. How?
Yeah.
How did this happen? So we'll see. It'll be interesting to fill in those back spots for DC, but that's coming around quick. So I don't know I have not talked to too many of these athletes. I don't really know who's planning on coming, who's planning on not. I would anticipate a pretty healthy roll down.
But it still stops at 30, right? Like if they don't.
It might.
If people don't want to travel from Europe and we just don't have enough people in the US because of their system, would they cap it at 12 like they did a few years ago?
They might, because they're like, I don't know how to do it. The system stops
only
at 30.
Good people.
I don't know who's 31st. We can't figure it out.
Yeah. No options. I do appreciate that they did list the people like a week out so that we could talk about it in all the other podcasts. I hope they continue doing that.
Let's go ahead and talk about fantasy real quick as we transition into BK. You got something else to finish on the women? Yeah.
Yeah. What was the deal with Camilla? We saw her very upset. Do we have clarity on what that was?
Yeah. When I talked to her,
was she complaining about an official or a judgment or something?
Not really. The judging, by the way, was on top of us. Same story from everybody pretty much. It's like the judges were like, there's a little bit of like, we need to clarify things now if they're good, because they're starting to be sticklers about stuff that they haven't been. And it's like, we're not, as athletes, it seems like we're not quite sure what they're
talking
about.
Lauren got punished for things she wasn't doing.
She did?
On the burpee broad jump, she wasn't, in my opinion, exceeding any standards, and they called her on it and she slowed her form way down.
It was almost like they were just, every rep you did, they were just reminding you what to do. But they weren't telling you when you were doing it right.
Okay.
Just like, don't, less than a foot, no more than a foot. But they weren't saying no rep. So is this more than a foot or not? Like, what's happening? And so it was like, there was a couple times I like looked and it's like, and this happened. The sled pole was like that too. There's like a line, and I don't know if the line operates how it would in a field sport. Like the line is out of bounds, or if it's like crossing the line to a certain threshold.
Is it soccer or football?
Exactly. And I don't know. I'm guessing soccer probably, but they were calling it like football.
Mm.
Do they still hold that athlete briefing ahead of time and update you on the rule?
It was
interpretation
like,
changes since last time.
It was like 20 minutes long because it was like an hour before the women's race. Like they did it right.
Oh, you guys
are
like
started.
Want to warm up.
Yeah.
Is it true the main people weren't there? Head official wasn't there.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
Hyrox main people weren't there.
It was Mincher was there and some of the
others.
Yeah, she was the one going through it all. But I don't know who the head official was with all that. But they were on it, man. They were really. And like, I think that's good. I would rather see people get no reps than watch people do bad reps and have them count forward, right? Like we want it. We want there to be strictness. Like watching CrossFit, right? There are bad no rep calls all the time. that's just kind of part of it. Like, it's better to be careful, to be overly strict, I think.
And do it early. So every rep after that for the remainder of that zone, you know that that's the standard. Don't do it like halfway through where it's like, hey, my body's used to doing it this one way. Like,
changed.
Why are you correcting me now? Yeah.
So that would be the one that's a little bit jarring for sure to have that happen. But I hope that stays consistent that way, because they seemed to be right on top of it in Stockholm as well. So we'll see how these US judges come through for us, but I don't know. What was your question, Bracken?
Just what happened to Camilla. At the end, she was obviously upset, and the way she was gesticulating, it looked like there's something had gone against her out there.
There, she got a couple penalties, I do know. Okay. And the penalties are, they back you up. I got a penalty on the lunges. They called me for the foot shuffle, damn it. I was like, hey, I'm just trying to walk these walking lunges.
These shoes are bouncing me.
The fuck out of here. Leave me alone. And like, they back you up, and 15 meters is like three of those blocks. So I kept going back. I was like, oh my, and it seemed like forever.
I was back like, you oh my God. 15 meters for one infraction?
Meters, yeah. Or five meters.
I thought it was 10. 5 meters.
Oh,
5 meters.
Okay. I was like, that's like 50 feet. That's
no, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Five meters. And that okay. Five even felt like
yeah
longer than I wanted.
That's five lunges basically right there.
Kind of, yeah. So I think she got hit with something like that, and she did run a couple extra laps late, but her story was pretty similar to mine. Just it wasn't like she was in it in the beginning, and then like she started getting hit with calls, and then she made a couple errors on the laps, but I think she'd already I think it was already just not going well by that point. So it just wasn't a day for her.
Okay. All right. Fantasy. If we must.
Fantasy.
Oh, we must. I got a little bit of criticism for my drafting technique, and I ended up getting the win, 31 points. Rich getting second, 49. And Bracken continuing his streak of getting last place with 52.
Nice job, dude. Dropped a 50 spot.
Mm. Had your boy in there.
Yep. Surprisingly.
Lucas did okay.
Yep. I was going to say, surprisingly,
Sandy's tough though for BK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to know. My man, that's the roll the dice when you get Sandy. Will he finish?
Yeah.
We thought we were done with that narrative, and he found a way to pull it back.
Oh, no. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the rower debacle for sure. There's a little bit. Yeah. No cover up. Just straight up like, oh, no.
His biggest mistake was allowing Ronk to finish. If Rakovic walks out with him, they're heroes. Rakovic finishes, and now Sandy's like, oh, shoot. Like,
there's no way Alex wasn't finishing that shit.
That sucks. Yeah.
No way Alex wasn't finishing. He was on a different planet. He was like, he was on a whole different level that day. But yeah, me drafting Kent, mistake. And I was like, okay, Kent's my guy. Rough go his past couple weeks. Like, he's fit. He's good. I'm gonna finish right with him, right behind him, no matter where he's at, figuring he was going to get second. And now I get third. But he decided to get 12th, so I was like, fine, 13th it is for me. And Bracken.
We were watching this, so Kirk and I stopped our businessman weekend to watch this, which turns out was painful for him. The man doesn't sit still.
He can't watch a whole IROX?
He got through one, and by the second one, he was like scratching Tyrone Biggins in there. and when we suddenly, you were like a minute 53 down on the timer. We're like, oh, Rich got a penalty. And suddenly Kent's 2:43 down. We're like, well, what is happening to all us? It just, nothing on the screen showed what happened. And it was like, they had to have had a penalty. It was so sudden.
The penalty was just like, hey, here's a sled pole that you're not going to be able to do that well. I was like, I'll take it on. But yeah, Kent, he just had just a rough go. And then it kind of manifested into some back tightness. He's been on a bunch of flights, like not including this big long one in the two weeks leading up to it. So if there's ever going to be a race that it wasn't going to go well for him, like this was it. You know, so
that's why
this gets thrown out.
I'm lethargic in life. I work hard in training, and then I don't do a thing outside of that. I can travel like a boss now. I put me on a flight, sit. My hips and back aren't going to get tight because they're used to that position.
I stay seated. Yeah, no problem with it. Just real quick, I'm looking into the like Camilla was already in like 13th by the time she like left sled pole. So yeah, she basically did have like the same day that I did. And she is good at sled pole. She came in 7th and came out 13th.
Surprising.
Yeah, so yeah, it's not a good day. Not a good day. But for the dudes, we had Alex Ronkovich take that top spot. Like, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Pelayo Fernandez.
He's like, I'm going to slip and fall.
Then dude, he fell in the first step. Place. Could you see him fall in the...
Yeah,
you didn't know who it was right away, but the way he fell, it could have only been like a runner. That's the way a runner falls.
Yeah. He sprung right back up and he like kind of came back around. I looked down and said, like, all right. And he's like, I'm good to go. I'm going to go get second. I said, go ahead. Go do your thing. I will not impede this.
I'm going to get second. Yeah.
Then we had Tim Vinish finishing third, a surprising third for sure. Your boy, huge. Thomas Tverdikt, finishing in 4th.
Yeah.
Graham Halliday finishing 5th. And then a bunch of the athletes who will finish in between those places all the way up and down.
So 6th place, that was Toby, right?
Toby was 7th. Bo was 6th.
Okay. I found out we've been pronouncing his name incorrectly.
Give it to us.
Tobias.
Not
Tobias.
That's why you say Toby. Can't go wrong.
I know. But the announcer said it, and he's from Germany. And I did one of those like translate to speech things, and in German they kept saying Tobias. And I was like, oh wow, we've been butchering his name for like 4 years. So
he must have had a real rough wall ball. He came in there
5th
and ended up in 7th. So Graham and Bo both passed him.
Yeah, I think Graham, they both went unbroken.
Maybe. They were both up there. Yeah, and I was right with those dudes. I was like, there was one point in the race where I saw a string of guys. And I was like, I'm going to catch every one of those guys. Like, that's how I'm feeling right now. And then, like, it just didn't happen. So that's one thing about this race, too, though. It's like, between 4th and last, it's like,
yeah,
any one specific way could have turned the tides. So,
and it was also interesting to see that Hyrox is looking like OCR now, where the top guys are a certain body type and they run a little different. And then you always had the OCR kind of like meatheads who were just bigger than everyone else and crush carries and have grip strength for days, and they couldn't run up there. But if you were near them at the end, you were screwed because they were going to get through everything. Right. And that's kind of Hyrox now. Like, some of these guys can't quite perform at a high enough intensity throughout. But if they get to lunges with you, you're toast.
Yeah.
Because they're going to fly through the lunges and they're going to go unbroken on wall balls, and they just gobble up anyone who's a little bit off towards the end of a race.
And that is the case with Graham, with Bo, with JK, really. Like, their runs were... Yeah. Joffrey for sure. He's a monster on machines, but his running is just like they were the last 4 or 5 in terms of their run for the race of the athletes who finished, but were still able to put themselves in 5th, 6th, and 7th because their output on the machine, on the stations. And that's just something I'm still trying to figure out. It's like, are they chilling on the runs then? Like, you figure they're not chilling.
They might just back off a touch more knowing I'm not doing much here anyway. Might as well be able to crank. But yeah, it's perplexing. This whole sport is still perplexing because we think we have a handle on it. And each week someone proves us wrong or proves that there's a different way through it.
Let me see.
And this is such an opportunity, this type of race, without Hunter there, without Rylan there. You don't have that net. And honestly, Michael and Alex, they definitely went out really fast, but typically it's like Hunter just, he's so good at the skier right away. You kind of have to put yourself in the pain cave right now and just hang on to him 8 minutes into the race if you even want a chance. This one was like a wild card event. You're like, can Michael and Alex hang on? Let's see what happens. I was very surprised that more people didn't go with them, especially looking at the time finishes. And yes, we can get into the road debacle and stuff where they subtracted time from Alex's finishing time, but he still won by like 2 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Just straight up. It was like no one was in his league.
So I got a take.
Mm-hmm.
The men's field of Hyrox collectively, they run like East Africans. Like, it's like, we're going to go out as hard as we can. And if we blow up, we blow up today, but we're going to have a race in 2 weekends and we're going to try it again. They have like these opportunities to really go out and hammer and hang on. And sometimes they do. And when they do, they run 57, right? And when they don't, they run like 62. And it seems to be, they just have the ability to put themselves in over their heads and just hope it's their day. And that's kind of how they race.
In your Grijalva, hanging on the back of the pack. Like,
yeah.
Looks like it too. Just think, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding.
Hey, you have a new song, Bracken, right?
Yeah, baby.
You got rid of the song. Actually,
that is the middle portion. So when we bought our music rights, the long version has some riffs on it, and we got into a bit of the riff for this one. There's still stuff you haven't heard.
That's why you went for the town? Caribou?
Baraboo.
Caribou, Wisconsin. It's like, hey, I've been thinking, should we put that like bridge part of the song as our intro? What do you think about that? Like,
it was one big jam session.
They have new audio for their intro. Like, it's not just the regular stuff that we've been hearing for. It is brand new.
Wow. So. Got a new microphone.
And you don't even know. There's like a punchline in there, Jack.
Is there?
We recorded it. Well, like the, whether you're new to running or blank.
Oh.
We got like a dozen or blanks that are come flowing down.
Oh, okay.
You don't even know.
It's recurring.
Not Rich, Rich doesn't care.
I never will know. I zoned out during that whole thing. So yeah, I think that these athletes, they're just running really hard up front and they just hang. And that's what happens with the sleds too. Like the sleds, I meant to mention that Lauren seems to run well in Europe with the sleds that move a little bit better. Like that's an advantage for her. She's like said that. But yeah, something with this, like that was my fastest sled push I've ever done. And I just got, and I came out and like last, I came in and like just got passed by all, and like, what am I supposed to do about that? At that point, it's like, oh, I should have done it 30 seconds faster. It's like, yeah, no shit. It's like, I should have run everything faster too. It's like, just not, I don't know.
Like they is just it like middle schoolers who run the mile and then they're like setting a 400 PR in the opening one? It's like, guys, just slow down a little bit and maybe we'll all run a little bit faster if we're intelligent about this.
Well, kind of. And that's why these results at the end, it ended up being Graham and Bo. And that's how Tobias has found his success, is like picking people off who go out too hard. So, but then you have guys like Alex and Hunter who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what are you supposed to do?
Alex just embraced it. That was impressive.
He goes out so hard and can just still like hang in there. Just hang in there.
Do you have any insight on his training?
Not a ton. I think it's intensity and volume, like muscular endurance, volume and intensity pretty much around that. I don't think he spends a lot of zone three stuff unless it's done with station somehow. So no, not really, but he's strong. He's really not, he only weighs a couple more pounds than me. He looks big out there, but he's strong. So not really. I think more intensity, which makes sense to be able to hold on to that.
Yeah. How is Pelayo balancing this act so well?
His ability to run just doesn't get disturbed. Like his muscular endurance is really high because of the cycling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now that he's just kind of figured out how to do the push and the pull, like he can just continue to run well. And I don't know. I think he's just faster than everybody and during this style of running. Like
I just looked it up. Alex went 29:49 and Blyo went 29:53.
I saw that too. I don't know where they took Alex's time off. It looks like it came off of the row. But like, it seems kind of crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what? We finally had our example of what would happen if you took like a 1 minute break in the middle of the race. I know we talked about that as like a bold strategy one time. Like
that's the move.
We saw it.
That's the move.
Yeah.
So where are you taking your break?
I'm doing a 40. I'm going to
right after push.
I'm going to do a 2 minute sled push and just walk for 30 seconds and be like, I'm back.
I think the rower already is a break essentially because
your heart
like
rate will hang. Come down.
Yeah. I would do it after pre broad jumps.
Ugh. Yeah.
If you could get that sled out of your legs, though, that'd be really nice.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to talk about the row?
Let's talk about it.
Jack, did you watch us live?
Bracken and I were texting each other throughout the whole thing. Yeah.
Don't say, how am I supposed to know that shit?
You should know. ESP.
You should get the alerts. I should have my watch connected.
Yeah.
To messages so I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it started at like 11 a.m. So I was good to go.
That's a great time for you.
Yeah, I love these afternoon ones.
All the sleep's out of your eyes.
Almost lunchtime, yeah.
So coming into the row, as soon as it happened, reactions.
I couldn't comprehend what was happening. It was one of those where he was so frustrated and then he sat down and tried it again and then switched. Like I kept thinking, how are all the batteries dead?
Mm.
It didn't engage to me that they had set a system up to be able to monitor all metrics at once and cables coming out, but that was also the power source or something like that, or it had corrupted the, I don't know the exact response or what had caused it, but I didn't comprehend that they were linked.
Mm.
It's like, what? How is this happening?
They had it on for the men's and women's race, like on the screen, right? On the ski. Like you could,
yeah.
Like it was something that you
best
could
coverage yet. You. And we haven't mentioned that.
Mm.
Best coverage yet. And I don't think it was close. They had the best graphics, the best information.
It was a really good team. Like Lauren was on sideline, Lauren Smith. Like Sarah kicking it down to her, and that's like what she does. So she crushes that.
Great.
Yeah.
There were like a couple typos, but that's just, they just didn't pay attention on a couple of things that they typed into the graphics. But
that's a you problem, Jack. Jack's like, not spelled correctly.
No, that
canceled.
It wasn't just that. There were a couple times where like Lauren and Meg, they were next to each other with like 850 meters, and then it would drop down to 17 meters. And it's like, oh, what happened there? But overall, they get an A.
But even that made the erg more watchable. Like, I'd rather watch spelling mistakes than someone row for 1,000 meters when I can't see that. I can't see their monitor.
So did you guys catch an explanation?
They didn't ever explain. We just saw them run in, get down. Ronk stands up, starts gesturing, and then tries another one, and then starts to run out, and then comes back and tries it again. And then Sandy's in, and then they're milling around doing.
It was a long time.
If in the moment, it was like a nightmare. I felt like I was in a nightmare for them. They never explained what happened.
My raw reaction was, why aren't you going to a different rower? Because they got up and then they sat down at the same exact one. I'm like, clearly that one's messed up. Just go to a different one and force someone else to have a shitty day. Like, you're winning. And they were just
moving around.
Yeah. Well, it took a little while. They initially went back to the same exact one again.
They're like, try it again.
Yeah. And my thought while this whole thing was happening, which felt like an eternity, like you said, it was still like a minute and no one else had come in. I'm like, they are going so fast.
They're killing people.
They're murdering them. We're halfway through the race and they've got over a minute lead. Like, how good is the rest of this going to go? Because they're both good rowers. And, you know, I want to see how fast Sandy can go after his recent race. But then it just happened. And I was like, this is just such. I had flashbacks to Abu Dhabi with Lindsay and Esther when they grabbed the wrong sandbag, and it's like, how can you let this happen in a major event? Like, you have very, very simple thing to do, pick up this thing and go. This is simply pull and go, and you screwed it up. So I was pretty disappointed in that.
It took so long for the next person to come in that I started to think they had held the athletes. They were just going to like, all right, hold there, like airplanes in the sky, like just
a caution flag and racing.
And we're going to get this figured out. And then we're going to let them get to 250 meters. And then you guys can come in or something. Like, it just didn't even make sense how far ahead they were.
So here's what happened. So I finished the race and, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And Christian's there talking to him. He's the one of the founders. He immediately starts explaining to me what happened. I didn't even know. I got there and they were already gone. The rowers were all set up and I was just like, oh, something happened. So it's the first time that they did link the monitors to the live stream so they could show it in real time, which is great, which does improve the product. One of the hardest things to watch about this race is the stations that are in, that are stationary stations. Mm-hmm. And you can't really see what's going on. Like that, wall balls is probably like that as well. So just giving us some reference to what's going on is an improvement of the product.
They do it in CrossFit games. It's nice to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, this is kind of how these Concept 2 machines are set up, right? Like they do remote competitions, in-person competitions. Yep. Yeah, like they are made to connect. But when you do this, to reset the rowers, it must be done remotely. So there's one person's job to press a button that then resets all the rowers. And this was the first time this person had that job, clearly, because the first time they did it, and just forgot. And that, like,
so it was avoidable.
It was absolutely
avoidable. It wasn't like system crash, something got unplugged.
It all, it worked for the rest of the, the rest of the day, worked for the women, worked from the ski.
That was the other thing where another initial thought that I had is I was like, okay, we're seeing interactive stuff on the ski as well. We already ran the women's race and now we're doing the ski again. It didn't look like there were any, well, there was a problem because they ran the wrong direction, but that wasn't like display issues.
I think that was, I think that was Alex's fault too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't think that was, they told us how to do that. Like on the ski erg. That wasn't
my concern is on the machine itself, not the direction. That's just, that's race brand. That's literally what happened right there. But I was like, okay, it worked successfully there. Why is this very similar machine, which is also a concept too, which is also linked? We already saw it work successfully between races. Like, what was the disconnect there? That was my initial thought.
So ultimately, it's like, and I was thinking about this with, you know, the major sports that we watch, football, basketball, whatever. There's always going to be some kind of controversy that happens. It seems like one that comes to mind. The pass interference call, what was it? The Saints?
The Saints, yeah.
Who are they?
He just like body checked them.
Doesn't matter. Like a clear miss call. And I mean, that's human error, right? It's on the field. It might not be something that the NFL did for that, but like they went back and retroactively changed it. But that was a story that day.
It's against the Rams.
Mistakes just happen, right? And like they're trying to make the product better and it sucks. And everyone's like, oh, this is unacceptable. But like, it happens in all sports and I'm okay with them like trying to make it better and having this type of mishap, and it won't happen again.
No.
Right? There will be other things that happen that are...
That employee's already been hired by Spartan. That won't occur at Hyrox again.
There's openings available there. He's in. So, I mean, it sucks for sure. I don't think it affected the outcome of the race. I honestly don't think... Like, I watched that middle part. Wanted to see how my sleds were going, just kind of get some feedback on that. And then I kept watching into like the row. Then I started getting cranky, so I turned it off. But I don't know if Sandy hangs on a second.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Playa was hauling, but there was a gap.
A big gap. Can he bleed well over a minute at that point?
Yeah.
I don't think it was actually that long. I don't think it was well over a minute. I think it was like actually slightly under.
Oh, okay. So they awarded 106 to Alex's time, but that wasn't the gap, I guess, or was that just between the time
tried
to grab a rower and then started successfully pulling on a different one? That's the minute six.
Yeah, but he had already gapped Sandy. Anyway, yeah.
So it was like it was.
I agree. You might be right. He had a good lead, but. Ronk was on a different planet.
And it was the first station Sandy didn't come in leading. And we've seen when he's not winning a race he's trying to win, it comes back, things go backwards. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, like, because after he didn't finish, I was like, man, like, if he would have finished, there would have been one less world championship spot taken.
No, he already has a spot, I thought.
Exactly. So if he finishes.
Oh, so fifth place. Yeah. Did Graham get a spot or?
Graham did not.
Okay, so Tomas got it.
Yes, so three. So Tim, Playa, Tim, and Tomas had it.
Oh, okay. Wait, did Playa? Because the first one was Chicago.
He was fourth.
He got fourth, so top three got it there, I thought.
Yeah, and he finished fourth.
So Playa clinched it today because he didn't get it in Stockholm.
Yes.
Okay.
So maybe it wouldn't have mattered. It would just bump Tomas down in all three spots. Only take two roll down. You can
roll down or not roll down. The same people would have got it.
Did they roll down two or three?
Up to three total, to three. As long as you're in the top five.
So maybe it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Yeah,
I guess. But like he went out so hard. He went out so hard that we've seen him do this. He gets passed, and like, and then things kind of start unraveling, and it happened to him. After Brippy Broad jumps. So I don't know if he hangs. I don't think it's a sure thing that he hangs on to the podium.
Not a sure thing, no. The interesting thing is that I've from the beginning been an advocate of when something goes wrong on course, you make a decision to either address it or leave immediately. And if you leave immediately, you announce to the officials that you're running under protest and you make them make a decision, but you do it right away. Like in the moment you're being called on it, you either yes, sir, or I'm sorry, I don't agree, I'm out. And Sandy's only mistake is that he waited until they had come up with a solution to the problem to make that call.
Right.
Had he left when they first started to leave, I think everything's fine. And I think Ronk would have come with him. But the fact that they waited around until there was a solution, he started to take the rower and then just decided, nah, man.
Nah.
I don't have it right now. This isn't for me. That's the issue, because now he's put in a spot where Ronkovich made him look lesser and made it look like he took the out decision. But I can't believe they waited that long. I would have, not that I can say what I would have done, but I think I would have been out of that station immediately.
I probably would have run the next lap and been like, you guys have 4 minutes or whatever to figure this out. And then I'll go on the rower and run it out of order. I'll still complete everything, but this is not you guys.
Ski. I thought they were going to send him to the ski again.
They're going to do ski again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the next closest thing, right?
Or yeah. Or make everybody keep going into farmers and then pull them back into
just, detour everybody at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've had a couple of issues in the past. Like I know that Hyrox one time at World Championships, I think Kent and Hunter did one lap too short for burpee broad jumps. We saw in DECA Fit World Champs DECA Strong World Champs when they had the wrong sled setting for Alondra and Raquel, I think. Camilla. Okay.
Well, Camilla was caught by Alondra.
Yeah. But there are a couple instances where this happened, and they did find a quick solution like during the race or shortly after and then corrected things. It is nice that hybrid seems to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to OCR, which is like blanket 10-minute penalty, or you're just DQ'd and
they're making up.
You should have known better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the times, there is a smaller differential in the variation from what should have occurred if they send them right through back out onto the run or to the farmer's carry, right to the farmer's carry, do that run and then bring them back into rower than sitting around and waiting. So I think the nice thing about station work is that you can swap it if you need to. It would have changed the dynamic of the lunges a lot, but it would have been a less drastic response. That being said, in no way, shape, or form was anyone expecting this to ever happen. So there was no plan in place, but keeping people moving is the play.
Right.
I think the right move going forward is if you ever have this, just increase the station number by one and just go to that. And then until they fix that one, you just keep, say station four is messed up, go to five. And how can station four be messed up? It's burpee broad jumps. But if the rower was messed up, you go to six. And then if they still haven't fixed it, you go to seven. And then if they still haven't fixed it, you go to eight. And then you might have to do rower at the end after wall balls if it takes 20 minutes. But just keep going sequentially until the problem is solved instead of just zigzagging. I think that's the best solution going forward.
Yeah. And I think everyone would be happy with that. As long as, because then you can just cycle, you can get everyone get loud, get your hands moving, do not stop, keep moving. You just get the whole field coming through and it's as seamless as a drastic measure could be.
Yeah. It's not what you want.
No.
Agree.
And they're really not at fault. Once it happened, it was chaos. At that point, there was no good solution in the moment.
But like did you talk with Sandy at all?
I did not get a chance to see him after. I didn't try to talk to anybody after the race. I was just like, pfft.
Okay.
Stupid.
Besides Christian.
Shit is lame as fuck. So let's look at how this shakes out for the, because this is interesting, for the qualifying times now for the rest of the majors. There are 14 accounted for automatic qualifying spots for the 15 spots designated for the last race in DC. So now, in order to qualify on time, you have to run faster than 56.46.
Easy. This weekend.
This weekend.
Yeah.
This weekend. We're going to get it. Go ahead.
Are we to the point now where we can have more qualifiers than they will have spots for?
That can't happen.
No. Why?
Mathematically, I don't think it can happen. They just won't give enough spots for it.
How many spots are left at the majors?
Well, they're only going to take three at each major. There's eight qualifiers.
So how many have qualified right now?
Eight.
I mean, we have 14 qualified.
This is not worlds.
To
this
race
is for the majors.
In the majors, not worlds.
Oh, well, just ignore me. Continue. Yeah.
You made this mistake last week. That's okay.
Yeah.
I am so
straightforward system.
This is borderline math, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting there. So now we're going to get a healthy roll down, I believe. Like, Ryland's on your Goofy Games team, right?
Yep. He will not be there.
I've heard Sandy's not coming, but maybe he'll change his mind now.
What team are you?
What team?
Yeah.
For what?
You just plus or minus three states adjacent to Colorado?
You need half the people from the state.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
And everywhere else is city.
Well, if you look at a lot of the other teams, they are definitely not from the same city. But
so I would imagine...
Or country.
So Ryland's not going to come. Say Sandy's not going to come. That was a rumor, but maybe he'll change his mind. But so that's a hell of a trip for him. Hunter said he's not coming. Yes. Hunter said he's not coming. Again, he might change his mind. He does that.
Playa is not. He said his next race is Miami with his wife for doubles.
That is but that's before the DC major.
Oh, it is?
Prior.
Oh, okay.
So I would imagine Playa is coming. Ronk's not coming. I would imagine Tomas is not coming. I would imagine
the one.
Graham probably is coming. Well, Tomas already has a world qualifier.
I'm saying this is the one. This is the one to go to now.
Yep.
Yeah. Like Kent will be there.
If you're Dylan, Colin, Anas, like this is the one, you're right.
This will just be a preview of the last chance qualifier.
For sure.
Which is great. Lucas, maybe. I don't know. John Wynn, he had a tough time. He was like sick leading into the race and just tried to like tough it out. Like kind of how me and Kent were for Deck, because I was feeling for him. That sucks.
He and Michael were the two who didn't finish.
Mm-hmm. So he might come. Afrin, I would imagine he would come. He's not going to get another opportunity the way that he has. And, you know, Maastricht, the guys who ran well at Maastricht are in good fitness, but their time was still 2 minutes slower. Jack.
I'm making adjustments.
Maybe Florian shows. But I think this might roll all the way down to 30. And
wow, you've listed a lot of doubtfuls. So.
And like in the middle, like, I don't like, and if you're guys who come over, right? Like if you're Schiller, if you're Alphonse, if you're Eugenio, like who've come over and just can't figure it out, like because it's hard and it's international travel doesn't go that well and you need to get like a top five spot, like, do you do it and just be like, I hope? I don't know. Word is Gabe Heck is going to be in the United States.
Oh, I hope he gets that roll down.
That's the worst travel because it's as far east coast as you can get coming from Thailand.
You just go the other direction. You're fine.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. It's way easier that way.
I don't think you understand time zones, Jack.
Just like you and math.
Yep. There's a Coriolis effect involved.
So yeah, now these Dubai time is dude, Mohammed, how are we saying that? Rabet? He punches people down a little bit, like 58, never, who knows who this is. Like if Gabe might get punched out of the top 30. And if that happens, that minute penalty he received at Hong Kong could keep him out of Worlds or keep him out of that. Like it kept him out of Worlds last year.
Could keep him out of Worlds if he does well enough in a race where a bunch of people aren't there.
Yeah, so that's tough. But I'm guessing Dylan will be in. I'm guessing Colin will be in. I'm guessing Anas will be in.
One penalty will affect him for 2 years.
I mean, it's crazy that his time still counts for all this. But yeah, I mean, we are like this was something that I was like, oh, this could be one spot on time by DC. And it actually happened because the depth of field is so mixed up and the top guys haven't shown up every single race that they've given out three qualifiers into the majors.
Every time. Yeah.
So now, yeah. So strange. So it might be the same exact field, but I'm guessing we're going to get a nice healthy roll down because there are eight automatic qualifiers. And then if we get three more qualifiers at DC, that'll put us at 11. So that'll leave just four more. So it would be 2 and 2. So we'd only get two spots for last chance qualifier.
Do they even it out? Because I thought it was not population, participation based. Like if you have 1,000 in one and 2,000 in the other, you get two spots at the one that has more people show up and one at the other. Like
that's how they do the aid group qualifiers. For this, they said...
Hope not.
Oh, yeah, that we would get none. Because it's your last chance qualifier, but you get no... Sure. This one, they said the second qualifier gets more spots if there's an odd number. So I'm just guessing they'll just do 2 and 2. So there could be three up for grabs in Anaheim for BK. Looking at it, licking his chops. God, he's already booked for Nice.
I'm going to tell Matt Frazier to show up. He'll know Good. Who you are.
Good.
He's my kryptonite and he knows it.
Yeah.
Anything else
I've
we want to add?
Never won a race he was at.
Anything else you want to add on the men's side of things? Who's the biggest winner? I mean, Alex is the biggest winner in his home crowd. You know, the adversity of the rower, sticking it out, still murdering everybody. Like,
I pictured they carried him through the streets.
Dude, they were cheering so loud for him. They were like on his team, which was really cool. It was really cool to see. I mean, he lives there. It's amazing.
Yeah. What do you think Hunter's thinking? He's probably like,
nothing.
I'm not impressed still.
Talked to a guy this weekend. Without divulging anything personal, it was the most respect I've ever heard him give a Hyrax athlete.
Nice.
Really?
Because he's generally, pretty disdainful towards all his Hyrax competition.
Yep.
Fair. I think that's a nice, fair way of putting it. And he was respectful and complimentary of Alex. And started talking a little bit like it, you know, Alex and I, and, you know, what he's talking about versus other people's way of whatever, like he rarely groups himself with people. So he was impressed. I don't know if it matters to him, but he wasn't like, oh, the kid sucks.
Right.
Do you have a take on Meg? Or not on Lauren for setting the record. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, you just said it was outrageous, but
yeah.
All right. On to Spartan news.
Sad news.
Yeah, sad news. We got to wrap it up soon, right, for Bracken?
Yeah, modified episode this week. We're going to see if people love it. Let us know. Let us know how much you loved.
We've got a lot of OCR coming up next week. So
we will be doing a draft for Alula, and that will be fun. I need redemption. Yep. I'm glad I can't be drafted. This is what happened in the prediction contest back in the day where I used to pick myself to get in there every time. Now I'm always like looking out for my friends out here, and that ain't how you're supposed to draft. So I'm just going to be drafting just
a brain, not the heart.
Just a brain.
The race brain.
With my race brain. So someone want to take away what happened?
Yeah. So basically, ORM had a post and several notable Spartan employees are no longer with the company. So you might have seen Steve Hammond, who's always out there. He's not a race director, but in charge of a lot of things on the course, setting the course, and just a fan favorite. He is no longer with the company. And Garfield Griffiths, who he's helped with race directing, OCR Worlds. He's done Battle Frog beforehand. He's done Spartan a couple of different times. He is also no longer there. So a couple familiar faces that the fans, whether you're at the top end of the sport or the last person finishing, you're going to be disappointed they're not there anymore.
It's the end of the, he's one of the last holdovers from the back end of the sport, the beginning era. You know, Garfield, I kind of get it that he could be gone because he was never Spartan. Right. He was Savage. He was other things. A lot of the people that have come to Spartan from other companies don't stick on long. So I'm not saying I get it because he doesn't belong there. He's a stand-up guy. Every time I've interacted with him, he's good at what he does. But Steve is Spartan. Mm-hmm. Like if you had to pick one Spartan employee to put on the face of their poster, it's probably Steve. He's most synonymous with like the best of what people love about Spartan. And for him to be gone is just, we were wondering how to take our view on this season. My worry is that Steve being gone takes my excitement to like, this is the beginning of the funeral for Spartan. And that's overly dramatic, but Steve was one of the only things I had faith in that on that side for a long time now.
Yeah, he was kind of like the liaison between the high-level athletes and Spartan HQ, I guess, for lack of a better term. Like everyone went to him, respected at the top of the sport, but a lot of people don't realize, like I was doing the rabbiting with him and I'd be on the cart with him and it would be 5:45 at on a random Saturday and he's got to set the course the next day. And he's out there just literally doing a course sweep, meaning he's making sure the last person finishes, and he'll be with them for an hour, just talking, getting to know their life story and everything. And just the casual people were a huge fan of him. And there were multiple times where he'd do a lap at the end of the day when he's doing that course sweep, and he'd be with a former world champion, for instance, or someone who just won the national series, just doing a fun thing. And people recognized him, but had no idea who the other person who has all the glory from the elite side of the sport was. So I think it's a shame that he's not there.
Over the years, Spartan employees that are visible on course have shifted over from being the people who were there originally as part of the passion project, and more people who've been hired on since. And Steve was like one of the, he's not the last, because there's still some great people there, but he was the last great, was an athlete, gets the athletes, is trusted by the athletes, but also can interact with the business side of it and still has a legit position there. Outside of that, there he was maybe the lone person that every athlete seemed to trust. If you had to talk to someone at Spartan and you needed them to just listen to you, you went to Steve. And Steve would find who to talk to. And Steve didn't always get listened to. And Steve didn't always have the pull that we wish he did. But he was someone you could call, and he would respect the words you were saying, and he would try to do something about it. And I don't know who the athletes have now. I don't know who's left that you can pull up on your phone and be like, hey, Mr. Blank at Spartan, can we chat about something? I need to understand this. I don't know who you call now that Steve's gone.
Now, just to play devil's advocate on that a little bit, the concerns of OCR athletes that would be expressed, and Steve is the ear, kind of the liaison, the middle person there, did it ever matter? Was there ever able to be changed? Did we just have someone that we liked and we trusted and would mm-hmm. take the time to listen to us? Was it just like a suggestion box, a human suggestion box, or was there did he have influence that positively affected what was going on for the athletes?
I think it feels good to rant even if you don't get the solution you're looking for.
Well, yeah,
he definitely was the ear.
We can do that on Race Brain.
I know.
Yeah. He wasn't quite to a Cobol level, where Cobol actually could make a lot of changes if he wanted to, but he was better than nothing. There were times where he would talk to someone and someone would reply for him to us or to someone else, or something would change. So it wasn't a high batting average, but it was a chance. But more than anything, Steve was similar to Cobol in that he wore more hats than anyone had any right to ever wear. And I don't know how you replace that. You're not replacing a course designer or a race director or a course marker or someone who goes through and picks up the gels or someone who knows every athlete and can make judgment calls in the moment, or while rabbiting can also tell someone the rules of the rule book or tell them which way they're supposed to go to get back on course. Or like, you have to replace all those things at once.
The very
first race of the year, someone's going to show up there to do his job and they're not going to be able to get it done to his level and the amount of time that they have available to them to set a course up and get it ready by race day. He can do all these things because he has the crazy amount of experience in the moment that he fires off a million different projects at the same time. Whoever replaces him will not be able to do that at first.
Yeah, and there are other people who do the same thing. Like, there are oftentimes as a race on the West Coast and the East Coast, Steve is not at both of those. Garfield's not at both of those. So there are multiple people in this type of role. He's just been there the longest and has the respect mm-hmm. and admiration of the athletes and fans.
But he gets the camera side too. And yes. I don't know how many of them do that.
Yeah, it's cool. Even if you're at a regular weekend, you'll see it on Spartan Social. It's like, here we are at San Luis Obispo last year, and you know, here's a quick little walkthrough of what the course is going to be like. And those type of things are just cool to know what a local race weekend's like. And you don't really see that too often from the other people. You do see it a little bit in Canada for their races beforehand, where they'll do like a 1 to 3 minute, here's an overview of what you might expect with their race director, but it doesn't happen too often in the US besides with Steve.
Yeah.
So what do we think this means then? Like, how does this, is this just like another thing that will be disappointed and saddened by from Spartan? Like, does it affect the sport? Does it, like, what does this mean for the rest of the season?
All right. So to me, this is no different than them getting rid of the big 3K thing and the big five race series and going down to three. It's a move that feels like a step backwards, unless there is a plan to pick up from here moving forward. And that's the part we don't know with Spartan, and we've lost hope in over the years that we have actual foresight here. And more than that, there's going to be follow through. We're not just going to throw it at it for a year and turn and move. Because if they have a plan for this and they pivot from it by the end of the year, you're still out of Steve. And now you don't have that thing that was supposed to be the reason why he was gone, and it's better. But if this is step one towards we're putting different people in to wear less hats and be more dialed into one specific thing so we don't have to rely on a Steve or whatever, long term, it still could be a win for them. I don't know how it's financially a win, because they're not going to be able to hire someone to do what he does for less money, because Steve already takes less money than he should have been making. So on face value, it's nothing but bad. But at the end of the year, when we see what happens next year, we might find out, do they have a semblance of a plan, or was this a vendetta, or was this a rough hack attempt at cost-cutting initiative?
Has there been a loss like this? Like, what was Joe DI? That was not
great. Coble, I think Mike Coble. Morris. There have been a couple.
Morris.
Yeah. He was the glue Morris. From the early ages, yeah. Or early days. Yeah.
Robert Coble got mocked a lot online, specifically by a few of the pro racers. But that man did so much work for Spartan, and he brought them from grassroots to pro-ish sport. Like, I'm convinced he was directly responsible for that.
Because he had like a triathlon or cycling background, yeah. And like he kind of grew up, you know, being an athlete before he took that role, so he knew what it was like.
But he and Morris, I think, of the side that I have seen, I'm sure there's a bunch of employees out there I didn't know and did great yeah. things, but those two are the two that knew the most about it, had seen and done the most, that could rival what Steve brings to the table.
Yeah.
And that was part of like removing assets like that. We haven't necessarily seen the upside in the years that followed.
I spoke with someone prior to this who had an inside role at Spartan in the past, fairly high level. And his take was a scary one. He said, my worry is that the reduction in series and the reduction in people who would be responsible for improving the series means that they've realized the pro end's done, and they're just going to let it die out and reduce it down. And this is a personnel move in advance of that, and they're just going to go all in on the restructuring of age group. That doesn't require the high-end planning that a pro race does, and that this is going to just become the open racing. That'll be their lifeline, and they're just, like Rich Ryan asked for, get rid of pro.
That was on my wish list. Look at me, it should have been on my crystal ball.
So that's scary if that's true for the sport, that this isn't a personnel move for the better. This is a personnel move because we don't need this department anymore long term.
And that's
go ahead, Rich.
I was going to kind of switch it, keep it up.
Okay. And I, just to add on to what Bracken's saying, if you look at the people who kind of are in charge at this moment, you had people coming over from the Tough Mudder side, like Chris Maltby and Steve Hammond. They got on a podcast earlier kind of going over what was happening from the 3K series not happening anymore. And here's what's in the national series. We're combining the age group and elite heats into a competitive. Like you had someone coming over from the Tough Mudder side who might not have had that experience knowing what the pro side of the sport is, making all these like real quick decisions. And you combine them, you get rid of a guy like Steve who's been on the elite side for a while. It's like you're kind of connecting the dots right there. And I think you might be honest on the bragging.
Well, I don't want to be.
But neither.
What that means, though, grab your podiums while they're there. Like if you want one of the maybe potentially last North American podium spots ever, go to Jacksonville. Get to Big Bear. Get to Utah. Get to Seattle. That we might be on the last legs of the pro side of the sport. I don't want to be a harbinger of death here, but it's now an option. It's on the table.
That could be a Race Brain teaser, Jax facts in like 5 years.
Last person to get a podium.
Yeah, name six of the last nine podium finishers in the 2024 season.
Yeah,
we might as well go to Jacksonville now, guys.
Name the first ever winners of the Spartan race. There's your Race Brain teaser.
Any race? The first race?
First ever one in Williston, Vermont, not at Killington. It's a different part. You wouldn't know. I'm just kidding. You've never heard of it. Jason Smith and Emily Loisel.
Jason Smith, we could just shout out a name and pretty close. Yeah. Pretty basic right there. But that was something with the Open Championships that Hyrux just did, and they're doing for DC as well. It's more or less an age group championship because there is no pro, but the good athletes who do pro will drop down and do the Open Championships. And it's kind of like its own thing now. There were some really solid athletes who ran the European Championships. So like maybe
the Open Wave. Yeah.
In the Open. Yeah.
But are we really seeing DC? I'm very interested.
For same kind of thing, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was
like, will Stever go?
I don't think he would go and run the Open.
I don't either, but that type of guy, you can't get anywhere else like into the race.
Might as well practice.
Might as well do something.
And there's a camp out there that's just like, oh, Open Hyrox is a different thing. It's a completely different race. And we might start seeing that. It's like, okay, this person chooses just to do Open.
Yeah.
They call it light. That might incorporate it, like Hyrox speed. It's light rather than Open, because Open implies age group. Age group implies pros don't belong in there.
I mean, I think that's racing, that is
punching
what,
down.
That is what it is. I think that's what is happening. Like, that's, I think, athletes punch down.
Right. But that's how Sunday races in OCR were as well. That was punching down to show up and steal a podium.
Yeah. Now it's like, that's not respected. Like, that's not very.
These days, I don't think it matters.
Well, no, because I mean, like,
you can't get there Saturday, go race Sunday. I don't think anyone gives it an asterisk anymore. If Riker does, we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do think one thing to add on to the Spartan situation, I do worry not about necessarily people making a living, because we've kind of seen the past couple of years that's getting harder and harder to do, besides the freak event like the Tough Mudder Alula, for instance. But the people who are coaches and rely on this and are looking for clients who just want to get that next step, like to you guys, for instance, like the podcast wouldn't be here without the pro side of the sport and stuff. It's like, I just hope that doesn't just disappear. That option for guys like you and plenty of other people to make a living improving athletes from the OCR side, and just being able to talk about the best racers out there and just seeing people out there. I just really hope that doesn't go by the wayside.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. The good news is the industry is stronger than Spartan. The bad news is we don't know how much stronger. But I mean, that was the big fear during COVID. Anyone who was reliant upon this sport suddenly got a big bucket of cold water over their head that said, this may not be here forever. You need to diversify. The writing on the wall was there, and people started acting accordingly. I don't think it's any coincidence that Rich and Kent really veered hybrid after that.
Yeah. If you do look at
Deca, Rich realized, I may not be able to coach OCR people forever. You know, we didn't name it the OCR Republic. It was like, it was the running, but we understood running is forever. Fitness is forever. Spartan, there's no guarantee.
Right.
Yeah.
Hyrox too.
If you look at the numbers, they are getting good registration numbers again, like 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 sometimes at these for the 2 days. So a few thousand each weekend. And it's basically never been stronger than it is in Europe right now. Asia's growing like crazy. So we're just looking at it from a localized view in the US, but I don't think OCR as an industry is in a bad spot necessarily. No. I have no idea to know like what the actual profit margins are and stuff like that. That's all internal info, but people are still showing up. But
US pro OCR is in trouble.
It would be a shame if that aspect disappears. That's what I'm saying.
Well, and it's funny because for years, US pro OCR dictated the industry, and now it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But we're used to it being that, and it feels weighty to us.
All right, we got to wrap this thing up. Abbreviated episode, a day late. If you haven't noticed, Race Brain's out on Tuesdays now. We get it out as soon as we're finishing recording. But the squad was nice enough to wait for me, said I wasn't getting back till Tuesday night. Wednesday would be the day. You oblige. I set up the wrong time in terms of time zones.
Time zones, a little tricky.
My time zone, my internal clock is a disaster. You've been through too many of them. I don't know what day it is, really what time it feels like. So I'm going to go do some sled pulls now and for the rest of the time until
forever.
DC. Mm-hmm. 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 But I'll be wearing those Mizunos. 10K sled pull.
Yeah. Not
That's
to push.
A good idea, Jack.
Yeah.
I think that'll be easier on like our calves and Achilles.
Push and pull, it should be. Push down, pull back.
One direction. Balance it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, squad. Great chatting. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.